Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we do invite you to telephone, tell a friend that we do have Bible study, an interactive Bible study every Wednesday. What is an interactive Bible study? If you're listening for the first time, that means that you have an opportunity of calling in and participating. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you call in, you can participate with the speaker and all other Bible believers that are connected with this blog talk radio. Amen. We are going to be moving forward, but before we move forward, we're going to have a prayer for those that we know who are sick, those who are going through some trials. Listen, if there's anyone that you have on mind that you want to pray or you want a prayer for, we're going to ask that you name that person, and as you name that person publicly or privately, then we're going to initiate a prayer on behalf of them. Those on my end I have are James Hobbs, Diane, Katrina, Corey, Lisa, Alonia, Bill, Deborah, Arnold, Clem. I believe my sister has someone. I do not have the name in front of me that she wants to pray for, who comes to work every day with cancer, comes to work every day with cancer with a smile on her face and ready to do her job. That is an awesome testimony. So I don't know her name offhand. I did not pull that up, but God knows who she is. We're going to add her in our prayers. Is there anyone else that you would like to add on our list?
I would like to add Elder Phyllis Bell. I received a text message earlier throughout 2 days ago. She lost her mother out of Israel Total Life Ministries in Waldorf, Maryland. Lift up her and her family.
Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else?
Yes, I'd like to request prayer for Margaret Wolfert. For Amber Benenhaley, for Hazel Cameron.
Amen. Is there anyone else? Amen, amen, amen. For those of you who are listening by internet, if you can, you know, being that you cannot share who you would like to lift up in prayer, we're going to do that privately. Amen. God knows your thoughts. He knows our thoughts. Amen. So we're going to be in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we come to praise you because of who you are. Father, we ask at this time, Heavenly Father, that you would be with those we have named publicly and privately, Heavenly Father. You know what they're going through, and we're asking, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just come and be with them, Heavenly Father. Let them know your presence. Let them know your peace, Heavenly Father. And, Lord, before we do that, we ask if there's anything that you see within us that's unclean, we ask that you would remove it, Heavenly Father, that you would wipe anything that's not unclean or displeasing before you, that you would wipe it clean, Heavenly Father, as we submit our prayers to you. Father, we know that you do not look upon anything that's unclean. And now we ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just remove it in the name of Jesus. Father, we come, Heavenly Father, claiming protection over families, finances, home. We pray protection, Heavenly Father, over our bodies. Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, for the souls that are lost. Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, those who are lacking spirit, Heavenly Father, Lord, we surrender ourselves completely to every part of our lives to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we come against the workings of the devil, Father. We know that you, we know that the enemy tries to hinder us, Heavenly Father, Lord, our families from serving you, Father, but we come in the name of Jesus asking, Heavenly Father, for a healing in the name of Jesus. Why? Because you are the true and you are the living God, Father. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for knowing that you have power and control over everything that Satan does, Father. So we command anything, any demon forces, any darkness in the name of Jesus to leave in the name of Jesus. Father, leave their presence in the name of Jesus. And we plead the blood of Jesus, Heavenly Father, and we declare, Heavenly Father, Lord, that nothing that is coming against them shall prosper. Father, we come against wicked spirits. And Father, we come in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, Lord, for life today, for life more abundantly. Father, we come they're asking that you would tear down and that you would destroy all the stronghold of Satan in the name of Jesus. Father, we come against the plans. Why? Because you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this prayer. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for lifting everything up in the name of Jesus. And Father, we surrender our minds. We surrender, Heavenly Father, our spirit, everything over to you, Father. Lord, we know, Heavenly Father, those that have been prayed, and even those, Heavenly Father, who have not been heard, you know who they are. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would come and that you would be with us, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. We declare it, we decree it, we reclaim it in the precious blood of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for acting on our behalf right now. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. If we had 1,000 tongues, we could thank you for all the things that you've done in our lives. And now we thank you for what you're doing now. It's in the name of Jesus, Father, that we lay it at your feet, Heavenly Father. And we're not going to worry about it, Father, because we know that you are God that know how to take care of your own. And we just come to say thank you as humbly as we can. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This evening we are going to be coming from Matthew 10, 1 through 15. Matthew 10, 1 through 15. And the title of our talk this evening is called The Healed Host and the Hosted Healer. The Healed Host and the Hosted Healer. Now, as the scripture reads as such in various scriptures, and it states as such, and having called to him his 12 disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every malady. Every disease and every malady. And now in the name of the 12 apostles, they were called Simon Peter, who was called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Labias, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And verse 5 reads, it says, these 12 Jesus sent forth, having commended them, saying, go now unto the way of the Gentiles and into the city of the Samaritans. Enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, proclaim, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor bread in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, nor two coats, nor shoes, nor yet a staff. For the workman is worthy of his maintenance. And go into whatsoever the city of the town, and ye shall enter. Inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into the house, salute it. And in the house be worthy of peace shall come upon it. But if it not be worthy, your peace shall return to you. And whosoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you go out of the house or the city, shake off the dust from your feet. So as we go into this, and I'm breaking this down, and there are various Bible interpretations on this, but as we go through this, we just want to break down what is the theme. Now, the theme that we're going here, we're talking about is Jesus and what's happening. Jesus does not cling to his power that enables him to heal people. He does not cling to his power. Jesus has all power. Jesus can do anything that he chooses, but he chooses not to use his power. And he chooses not to use his power so that he can enable that enables him to heal. He does not accept to do that. He does not use his power nor push back the evil that is upon him. And he has a partnership with his disciples. He sends them out or equips them with great power to do the kind of work he has been doing. He calls them to create a partnership with those whom they encounter on their journey. Each of them must be willing to both give and receive. They must be willing to give and receive. Now, when we look at verse 10, 1 through 4, breaking this up into subjects, Jesus is interested in the heaven of God and at the beginning of earth, and it's not his own self-importance that he's worried about. In order for him to facilitate God's kingdom, Jesus authorizes to do what he has already been doing. He authorizes to do what he has already been doing. He gives them power through relationships. He gives them power through relationships. And so he helps the disciples become powerful. He helps them become powerful, and for them, he helps them to recognize the power that they have. Now, these disciples, they are astonished to see what is happening through Jesus' outstretched hands. Imagine you being with Jesus and seeing him doing all of these miracles. That is an astonishing sight. It's an astonishing sight. So they were astonished to see all that Jesus was doing. Now imagine what he's doing with his hands. Imagine the surprise that when he realizes that they are able to do the same thing. Imagine. So it's an actual surprise. They're talking about it's a surprise because when Jesus is giving them the ability to do God's, and it goes on. And it talks about there's an intimate group that of Jesus followers by several names of the gospel. And what we encounter the titles, we would call them disciples. These are the disciples of Jesus. Now, the word disciple, it is brought when you look at the term of what the disciple means. Disciple is a student of a teacher, of a particular teacher. Let me put it like that. A student of a particular teacher. So Jesus has students. Now, but we also know that John the Baptist also has disciples. As also during the story, Jewish teachers of that time of the text, they also had students. And they are sent out into the world to make an impact. Now, when we look at the word apostle, when we break it down, it means someone who is sent. It's derived from the Greek verb, and it's called sent. And so as it goes on, the 12, they're called the number 12 is applied to both of these groups. So Jesus gathers the 12 around them, and as a result of God's work with the 12 tribes of Israel, it echoes or it repeats. The 12 tribes of Israel, it echoes or it repeats from the past. So this way of speaking about the group goes beyond measure. It goes beyond measure. Jesus is not looking at the quantity. He's looking at the quality in these people. So near the end of Matthew's gospel, the group of apostles, they are eventually referred to as the 12. And if you look in Matthew 26:14, or if you look in 20 or 27, it would talk about the 12. It would talk about the 12. And as we go into each subset, I'm going to open up the mic and leave it open for you to comment as we move forward. Okay? So we're looking at, for those of you who have just come on, I'm looking at numbers just coming on, we're talking from the book of Matthew, and we are in the 10th chapter, and we are just really kind of breaking down 1 through 4. And he's talking about the apostles who were sent, or they were called the 12. Any comments?
Amen, Brother Moderator. This is Pastor Miles out of Jersey.
Praise the Lord.
I like this scripture right here. Matter of fact, this is one of the first, scriptures I use when I preach my initial sermon. I like this here, and I like how you brought it out and how you just demonstrated this here. Jesus takes his 12. I call them his 12 best friends. And he calls them out by name. And he gives you a detailed history of their background. So for those of you who are actually and really listening to this, I really encourage you and challenge you to study the background of the history of each of the 12 that he's called. Because you will see later on, as Brother Moderator goes forth with the scripture, there's some other things that come out once you understand who he's called and what he has done. And then you look at what he's given them, his best friends. He's given them power in the first verse. You know, to cast out unclean spirits. He gave them the power to heal all manners of sickness and disease. He gave this to his 12 best friends. And as Brother Moderator said, his disciples, his followers, his real true followers. That's what I want to add to that portion.
Amen, amen, amen. Any more comments? Thank you, my brother. Amen. As we continue, we go on, move on further into 5 through 8. And we're talking about what Jesus has done, they will do. Okay? So, in here, from 5 through 10, the mission is carried on. Okay? And Jesus, he's talking about the ones that are sent, and Jesus takes place. First of all, we have to keep in mind, Jesus takes place first of all of anything that happens, which whatever is going on in this covenant. Jesus takes first place in whatever is going on in this covenant. The covenant, in turn, the covenant is an agreement. That's an agreement or an alliance that someone has, okay, that Jesus has with them. So God has made and it's a covenant. When we look at the covenant, it's a covenant that God has made with the people of Israel. Okay, so now keep in mind that covenant that He's made with the people of Israel. So it begins. It continues on with those who are lost among a particular community. So later on, Jesus moves with the Father beyond God's chosen people of Israel. So here the narrator is describing those who would be doing what Jesus was doing in the beginning. Jesus is speaking directly to his disciples. He's talking to his disciples, and he's explaining to them what they are going to be doing. Just as he has spoken to them, now they are to do the same thing. They are to speak to the lost within the house of Israel. Kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near. When we think about the kingdom of heaven has come near, there are different interpretations, different theologians that have different interpretations of that. But for my interpretation, it means that Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And it's saying, get your house in order. Get your house, Jesus comes. So as we go on, the ministry bears the stamp of Jesus' approach. It's telling us that Jesus is coming soon. In fact, Jesus clarifies that they will be able to do what they will do because of what God has already done for them. They're going to be able to do what Jesus has done because of what God has done for them. And what they are to do is they are to give the people that they come in contact with them, they are to give them freely. They are to give them freely. Now, when he looks at it, the power is a divine gift. When you look at the word divine, divine is heavenly, coming from God. The power is a divine gift. It only can come from God, okay? Given to them to use for the sake of the world. It's not given to them to do what they want to do, but it's given to them so that they can go out and they can proclaim the gospel as God has sent them, as they have been sent as apostles. Sent, apostles, sent. So they are to go out and they are to proclaim the gospel. And that's what is taking place here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is about to appear, and God has sent you. God has sent the apostles. God has sent the disciples. They are to be about his business and his business only. Not about their business. Not, oh, well, you know what, I think I'm going to take a turn and go over here because I know something's happening. No. They are to be about his business. They are to go forth and do what God has sent them to do. He's already given them a command to go into the house of Israel for the lost sheep. Okay? Any comments? Any comments?
Yes, sir, Brother Moderator. I'm not trying to dominate anything, but
go ahead, my brother.
I like what you said, and there's one thing that I want to basically a question I want to ask. Would you want to take, and this question is directed to you for others that are listening. It's a rhetorical question. Would you rather take care of your own house first with your wife and your children and your grandchildren? Would you rather take care of your house first? Or would you give that up to come take care of my house first? And I believe that answer would be, you're going to take care of your house first before you move on. And that's where verse 6 comes in on this. He said to go to the lost sheep of Israel. Go to our house first. Go to our people first. Let's get our house in order first. Let's clean up our front porch. Let's clean up our back porch before we go to others. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's what Jesus was saying. Let's do that first. Because there's some people in our own house. I know it's not probably ain't right. We got people in our own house that ain't right. And we didn't even try to get them right first before we trying to go out to preach the gospel. Let's do all we can do in our house first. And then when we find out that we can't reach them, then we move out. Which goes back to what I said before. He went to his 12 best friends. And said, let's go clean up our house first. Let me be quiet. Yeah, God bless you. Go ahead. I'm excited.
I want to make a comment on that, you know, because in here, you know, from my interpretation here is when Jesus says go to, in verse 6, it says go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to the house of Israel. So Jesus has given them a commandment to go to the house of Israel first because of the covenant that he has made.
That's right.
I don't want that misconstrued, because even though that they were disciples, they were the apostles that are sent, they were given a commandment. And that's what I was saying earlier, that we can't go and do what we want to do. We have to be about his business. If God has given a direction, has given a command, then we have to do that first. And see, as we're doing that, if you think about it, who Jesus is, as you're going about doing what God wants you to do, God, you don't have to be there for God to heal what needs to be healed in your own house. Jesus can take care of what we need within our house when we are about his business. Because he wasn't looking for quantity, he was looking for the quality. Being about his business, being obedient to the word of God. So when Jesus says go, we're supposed to go. So I don't know if that was the direction that you were going on that, but because of that covenant that Jesus had made, that's why he sent them to the lost sheep first. Any comments? You want to make a comment on that? I mean,
I understand where you're coming from, and I'm with you on that. But I believe, because I'm looking at verse 5 before that, and he tells them, go not to the Gentiles. So the Gentiles is outside of the house of Israel. The way the mm-hmm. revelation that God has put in my heart and in my spirit was we got to take care of our own home first.
Yes.
Right.
And once we take care of our own home first, then we can go out, because from my studies and in the revelations that I've received, I believe the Lord has put in my spirit, at this time there were two type of people. There were people in your house and outside of your house, metaphorically speaking, the house of Israel and the Gentiles. The Gentiles mm-hmm. were not a part of the house of Israel. They just
Amen.
Were not.
Amen.
So when Jesus was very clear, now I don't know how others were taught, but I was taught, whenever you see a King James version of the Bible and that thing is in red, Jesus said that.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was clear when he said,
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
do not go to the way of the Gentiles or enter to mm-hmm. into the Samaritan. Now, the woman at the well, then we got the Gentiles.
Yeah.
He says, but go to mm-hmm. the lost sheep of Israel. The sheep are the followers. So he's saying, look, we got mm-hmm. our own sheep. We got our own people. We got our own people that are lost. We got to get them first before we go anywhere else. Faithful and little, faithful and much. No, mm-hmm. that's what the Lord has really deposited in my spirit over 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. Because this text here, I studied constantly, because one of the first sermons I've ever preached. So, I mean, I just want to share with you what has been put in me over 20, 25
Amen.
Years ago.
Amen. Amen. And that's what we are. This
Amen.
Is a study of Bible talk. That's what we're here, you know, to discuss the Word of God.
Amen. Yeah, because this scripture here, when I was in, matter of fact, I just get a little background. I was in Germany when I just met at the time Elder Palmer, as you know, Bishop Palmer. This is the first sermon I preached.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
As we go even further, it you know, and we haven't arrived there yet, but it also talks about that because of what they are doing, because of what we are doing, being about Jesus' business, that we're going to be rejected. And it talks about that we should not become angry because we are rejected.
You're fading away from the microphone.
We do not hold any grudges because we are rejected. And what it says
you're fading,
is,
you're fading away.
Wipe yourself clean and keep moving. and go on to the next. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. Do not stay focused on those who will reject you. And oftentimes, those who reject the church will be in your own household. Jesus, in his hometown, was rejected. They didn't receive him. Well, he had to go away from his home before he was received. So, any comments? Any comments? I'm loving this. I'm liking this. Any comments? I'm loving it. Amen. Amen. Pastor, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. As we go on with 9 through 15, we go on through 9:15, and it talks about Jesus has given them instructions for travel. So, and it says Jesus' willingness, he moves his relationship with his disciples in the direction of a mutuality that is mirrored on how the disciples are to relate to the people they encounter in their journey. He is giving them direction of how they are supposed to respond to those who encounter in their journey. So as the people look to them for help, the disciples must depend on those same people for help. So the apostles must be receptive to the, this is an ancient hospitality that they have there. Freely we give, freely it is received. So the dependence is on, he's talking about the local community, and they will visit, what they will visit in their cultural custom. And he's saying here that, again, that the people that he looks for, that they look for help, these same disciples must depend on the same people for help. So, and I want to stop there, because when I look at that, you know, in terms of the interpretation, that sometimes Jesus can give us a gift, and that gift we're supposed to share it with others. But when that gift is given and sharing it with others, because that gift was given to us, you and I freely, that we are to give it to others freely. And they may give something back in return. And rather than feeling that we are bugged because of our relationship with Christ, but we're supposed to be open and receptive for those that give back. As ye proclaim, the kingdom of heaven is near. If there's more strip of your journey, nor two coats, nor shoe, yet, and nor yet a staff, for the workman is worthy of his maker. Is worthy. It's already been given. Jesus has already given us that. And whosoever, and into whosoever the city or the town ye shall enter, inquire who is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. Any comments?
Yes, sir. One thing I like about this text, you know, as you were reading over it, one thing about Jesus is, and as I believe you know, one thing that he does, he always applies everything that is needed. And what he did for them was he actually, in verses 8, 9, and 10, he gave them instruction. Mm-hmm. And even verses 11 and 12 and 13, 14. You know, he gives instruction. So he's already given you what to do and how to do it. And if you follow that and anything that he tells you to do, you're going to be all right because he's already supplied everything that is needed. And this
Amen.
Actual journey, this actual journey that they were on, wasn't a real big journey. It was really small. If you actually research it, it was like maybe in a small city. It wasn't that big at all, and it was enough. What we today we would call a day's journey, maybe from sunup to sundown, or maybe a 24-hour type journey, to where they didn't need to bring much. But they may not have known that. You know, that's why he's given them these instructions. So I'm really enjoying you on tonight. Let me be quiet so you can keep going.
Man, no, my brother. That's what it's about. You know, Blog Talk Radio. You know, we are interactive. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I'm looking at a lot of numbers. There are those who are just listening, you know, but it's a blessing. You know, we are to be a blessing to one another. Amen? We are to
be
a blessing to one
another. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for your comments. I definitely received.
Yeah, and I also like the part in verse 14, you know, when you go to a place and you salute it and they don't want to be bothered with you, this is my way of paraphrasing scripture, you know, you're supposed to shake the dust off your feet and just walk away.
Amen.
Act like it's a minute. Now, notice what it does not say. It didn't say catch an attitude. It didn't say catch feelings. It didn't say get your feelings hurt. It didn't say walk around depressed. It said shake the dust off and walk away.
Shake the dust. Amen. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's something that we need to do many times when we come to people and we are led of Christ to go witness to them. We're led to go do that.
Amen.
And it's not well received or it's not received. Well, you did what you're supposed to do. Okay, shake the dust off your feet and move away. Because, see, maybe it was your mission or your chance was just to plant the seed.
Mm-hmm.
You were just to plant the seed. Now, look, these people were lost. He told them to go to the lost sheep. So maybe these 12 were just going there just to plant the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I liked about it, about what you said? You said a workman is worthy of his hire. You see so many ministers that don't want to take what you give them. You know, we're blessed to give.
Ooh.
So we want to give those who are feeding our souls, those who are putting something in us. It's in us to give. And they're worthy of their hire, whatever it is you're giving, whether it's missionary type stuff, going around cleaning or doing dishes. You can't pay nobody for that, but you can give a donation. That's why I like that. A workman is worthy of his hire, whether they want to take it or not. Give it to them.
And you know what, my sister, you know, and that is exactly what, you know, what the text is alluding to. And that's exactly what it is. Those that you go out, it's saying here, those that you go out, because God has given it to us freely, they are those that you're going to go out and you're going to pour into, they're going to give back. And what it's saying is that you freely receive. You don't, no, I don't need your help. It's saying that you're going to need help, or we're going to need help for those we've helped.
Hallelujah.
So That's a good point. That means
Amen.
It's almost like Jesus saying, well, you know what, let me give you this through someone else. And what we're saying is because we don't know it's Jesus, no, I don't need it. No, I don't need it. I'm good. I'm all right. It's not like
that. Amen. I remember there was a church that was vacant in Jersey City, New Jersey, where I put a resume in. One thing about me, and I've always been, I've never preached to receive anything of anybody. I've always preached the gospel because that's what God has called me to do.
Amen.
And that one particular Sunday, I preached, and I do what the late Reverend Clarence Merritt had always told me to do. He said, you preach. It's my great uncle. You preach. You change your clothes if you're sweaty. You grab your hat and you get out of there. Because you didn't go there for a dollar. You go to preach because that's what God called you to do and the opportunity was available.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what the chairman of that deacon board did, I was on my way back home. And the chairman of the deacon board called me. He says, we have a gift for you. I know you left before then. And I understand where you've come from because he knew the style. What's your address?
Yeah.
I'm coming to bring this to you because the people want
mm-hmm.
to give thanks and sow into you so you can sow into others.
Mm-hmm.
So, my sister,
mm-hmm.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yes. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll tell you something else. All of my life, God has blessed me to bless others. And he's
yes,
never
yes.
let me be without substance.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me?
The more
I bless others, the more I get blessed. There are some people that God has as helpers. They help.
Yes.
Amen. And there's another thing to your point on that. There are so many things that a lot of people who are listening to preachers and pastors and evangelists and ministers, one thing that I don't think that they understand. It takes money for the gospel to
yes.
go forth.
Hallelujah.
And the preacher that's actually proclaiming things to you while you are sleeping, he or she is actually burning that midnight oil studying the word to give
Amen.
To you. And see, a lot of things that I receive, I do not receive it by revelation of the spirit while I'm sleeping in the dream. I physically have to be up in the middle of the night studying books that people have given me and rightly dividing the word of truth. So, yes,
Amen.
He is worthy of retirement. If there is a man of God or a woman of God or a Sunday school teacher that's actually teaching the word and you're applying the word and
Amen.
That word is benefiting your life,
yes.
please, they're studying it from somewhere and they need the resources to keep feeding you. I pray that you understand that cycle.
Amen. Amen. I do.
Amen, 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 amen.
It's
praise
a blessing.
Lord,
it's a blessing. God blesses us to bless other people. And the more he blesses you, the more God is expecting us to bless other people. He doesn't
yeah.
give it to us all for ourselves, me and mine.
Mm-hmm.
No. He gives
amen.
It to us
praise
to give
you.
Other people.
We
and that's the ones to feed our souls, especially the ones who feed our souls. If
amen.
We ain't getting it at home,
then
we get it from wherever we're getting fed.
Amen.
Amen.
And,
amen.
And,
like
and
this
I,
show.
Allow me to add this if I may, and I want to retract. I'm not just speaking of a monetary value, so I want to be very clear on this. You may not have money to give, but you
yeah.
may have an apple tree in your backyard, and you can make a mean apple cobbler or a mean apple pie. And you know that man or woman of God enjoys an apple pie, or you know
Amen.
Their child enjoys an apple cobbler,
mm-hmm.
or their grandchildren. You can
mm-hmm.
make that.
Amen.
Amen.
And say, this
Amen.
Is for you to
Amen.
Share with your family.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I want to continue here. It says, you know, and I wanted to finish this out. It says, as they become the hands of Jesus Christ, we talk about the apostles, okay? As they become the hands of Jesus Christ, reaching out to those who are lost, they also must welcome hospitality from those same people as God's way of reaching out to them. So it goes on. It says, together these disciples and their new audience, are those who have been blessed or been a blessing to. The new audience are held in the arms of God. They are held in the arms of God. And these empty hands create space for God's grace to accompany them. So whatever the warning, whatever or however this warning in Jesus' commission, that we have to remember that not all will welcome the good news. And that's what I was saying before. Not all will welcome the good news and compassion of these disciples. Not everybody received the gospel from them. And it says not everyone will celebrate what God is doing through Jesus. They don't care. You're talking about how God has blessed me or how he's been a blessing to me or how what God, so someone did for me as a blessing. They don't. Some people don't care about that. Some people don't even want to hear it. And that's what it's saying here. So when rejection, now let me come on with you. Now when those you're talking to, you're excited about spreading the good news of what God has done for you or how he's blessed you, and all of a sudden you find that they don't want to hear it. That there is, that's called rejection. And it's saying here when rejection comes their way, and he's telling them, listen, God is telling them how to react on their journey. So let me take that a little further. God is telling you, God is telling me how we are to react on our journey. And what he's saying is when rejection comes your way, or it comes to the disciples' way, they are not to indulge themselves in anger. Don't get upset. Indulge yourself with anger. Don't carry around a grudge. They are to let it go, head out again, and with empty, open hands, seek the lost ones who will indeed gather into God through Jesus. Those who will listen. Those you're able to, when you talk about planting things, those who allow you to come into their yard, to come into their house and plant seeds in their yard.
Amen.
It's saying that we ought to keep moving. So, and as we go on here, this what in the Jesus reminds them in the story. And when he talks about the situation that's going on, he reminds them of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you don't know about that, look at Genesis 18:16, or you can look at 19:29, and it gives a profound example of inhospitality in the Old Testament. And it talks about when the messengers show up, when you show up, respond not with welcome, but with threats of brutal violence. They're angry at you because of how you talk. You're not talking my talk. You know what, man? I want to go out drinking. You're talking about Jesus. I don't want to hear that.
Amen.
But
yeah.
The apostles are not to carry around bitterness, but rather you are to trust the judgment of God's job. Trust the judgment of the commandment that God has given you. Trust that where you go on your journey that God has commanded you to go, that you ought to trust that God has it all taken care of. Trust in God. See, because the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. There's a large harvest out there, so you can't get stuck in one area. Commanding
Amen.
You
Amen.
To proclaim the gospel. So we are to go out to Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world, spreading, proclaiming the gospel. When God says go, you go. That's what apostles meant. Sent. Sent out. So if God has spoken to you, whether you're on the phone, whether you're on the internet, if God has spoken to you, be about his business. And watch how God works in your life. Be
Amen.
About his business. Don't focus on your own business. Be about the business of God. And let me tell you something. When you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business.
Hallelujah.
As we come to a closing in this, and I want you to think about it. There's a question that I would like to throw out to those of you who are on the phone, and those of you who are listening by internet. And the question is this: what spiritual power or gift you have been given to use in serving the kingdom of God? Let me say that again. What spiritual power or gift have you been given to use in serving the kingdom of heaven? And I don't want you to answer that right now. That becomes something for you to marinate on, something for you to think about. What spiritual power or gift have you been given to use in serving the kingdom of heaven? Now, I'm going to throw you on this. What was your initial reaction? I don't want you to respond. Just think about it. What was your initial action to the question? Did you think about it several times? Did you deny that you had any spiritual power gift? Did you just laugh? Or did you say, I have difficulty seeing my power or my gift in relation to the kingdom? Or was it something else? Now, I just want you to think about that. Those of you who are listening by radio, by phone, those of you who are listening by internet, those are just something I want, a seed that I'm going to throw out there and plant in your vineyard. Think about that. When that question was asked, what spiritual power or gift have you been given to use serving the kingdom of God? And what was your reaction? Amen. Any comments?
I enjoyed you tonight. I truly enjoyed you. I enjoyed you. Matter of fact, you should take a whole month one time with just you. That's how much I enjoyed you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and I enjoyed your comments as well. May God bless you. Any more comments?
I really did enjoy it. I enjoy you so much. It's truly a blessing to be able to unite with you and the other brothers, especially
Amen.
You and your lovely wife.
Thank you, my sister. Thank you. And you are a blessing to us every time that we hear your voice resonating through the phone, through the internet, through the ears of the believers, reaching the spirit of those who have received. You are a blessing to us.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for what God has poured into each and every one of you so that you can pour it out into others. That's what the gospel is all about. We come up, we sit around the table, and we talk about our blessings, and then we go out and we apply it.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. Jesus sat around the table. They ate. And I like to think that we're sitting around the table. We're eating the word of God. And then he sent them out. We're sitting around the table. And after we've heard what we've heard, and it has marinated in our spirit, then we go
Amen.
Out.
Amen.
We're sent out. As men and women serving the kingdom. God is so good. God is so good. And that's so we do thank you. We do thank you. Any more last comments here? Amen.
Say that I enjoyed you and also Pastor Miles. I always, both of you, put that extra sauce on what you were saying to have a better understanding. I thank you and appreciate you both for that.
Thank you, my sister. Thank you, my sister. And I mean that literally. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, for all of you who have been listening, we do invite you back next week. Amen. We're here every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, call the number 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And you can be connected with Blog Talk Radio. Amen. We are New Beginnings. And remember, we love you, but God loves you both. Until next week.
Lost it seems. I face the dawn.